gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nobody help me. Sorry. It's a little... With my new infirmity, it takes quite a bit longer to accomplish everyday tasks.
Apparently.
Like untangling my headphones. Pardon me. Mama is here, 6 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, but your leg fell off, so you shouldn't need your leg
My leg did not fall off. I went to the doctor. He said it's fine. The listeners are freaking me out. Stop freaking me out. My leg's not falling off. I'm not getting nerve damage. My cast is not too tight, I don't think. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. All right.
It still may be cut off later on today, right?
Oh, shush.
Okay.
Not my leg, the cast.
Right. That's what I meant.
All right. Can I just say one thing? There's entirely too much security in this building. That's been the hardest thing is, you know, we have our little key cards.
Yes.
And at this point, I could use a stalker to take care of me, for God's sakes. I just think there's entirely too many doors that we have to get through.
They're heavy doors, too.
Exactly. And you have the thing where you have, like, the 5-foot walk. Once you get the thing open, then you got to run on crutches to get the... All right.
This building isn't very handicap-friendly, is it?
No, I think we should loosen up security around here. All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. By the by, you know how we meet here at the Stephanie Miller Show?
How?
Not in that sense. Not in a romantic sense. In a business sense. We use GoToMeeting.
We met on Saturday.
That's true. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code. Stephanie, be sure to use that promo code. Stephanie. All right. Peoples is hurting out there, as I think we discuss almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Had to literally talk a friend down from literally almost the ledge yesterday, who's going through just a lot of financial stress and job stuff. And there are people in the trenches, whether you know it or not, fighting the good fight. One of them, Representative Gary Peters, just got something passed that we need to talk about. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's good to be with you.
Nice to be with you. That's the thing. There's so much. I happened to, sadly for me, turn on Fox News yesterday for a moment. And, you know, it's amazing these talking points, isn't it, that you can't, you can't tax, you know, these ultra-rich corporations because then they won't hire. And, you know, you're out there really trying to help people that need it, like small businesses, correct? Tell us about your, you have the Small Business Lending Fund Act.
That's right, Stephanie, and that's probably the place where we really need to focus. We know that where most of the jobs are created, particularly on Main Street, are small business owners who are out there working away and, in fact, are responsible for most of the jobs that are created in this country. And here in Michigan, we certainly have got some significant economic problems here in this state, very high unemployment. But we know that it's going to be our small business owners that are going to pull us out, and we've got to make sure that they have what they need. And my focus has been on a big problem for them, and that's access to lending. They just simply can't get the loans they need in order to operate their business.
Well, Congressman Peters, that's exactly it. I think my point about, you know, what I saw on Fox News is it's the same thing about, oh, you can't let the Bush tax cuts expire. You can't possibly have the rich pay their fair share because they won't hire. I mean, it's just these talking points are incredible. When I was reading some of your stuff, and I didn't even realize this, that small businesses create 2 in every 3 American jobs. I mean, what you've just done will hopefully really help people.
Absolutely. That's where the jobs are. And right now, I mean, what they're faced with is you've got the big Wall Street banks. They're simply not lending, even though they've gotten substantial help. They're not lending on Main Street. They're making money now, but they're doing foreign currency swaps and other types of exotic trading. And we've got to get money into the hands of small businesses. That's why I've worked very hard on the Small Business Lending Bill, which is passed the House, now pending in the Senate. And that will put $30 billion into local community banks that will then be turned around and leveraged into about $300 billion of lending to our small businesses out there that are hiring. I'm hearing from businesses now, they're in a position where the economy is starting to stabilize. It's still very fragile. We still got a long ways to go, but they'd like to hire somebody. They'd like to expand some of their inventory, but they can't get a loan, and that's the lifeblood of a small business. They can't go to Wall Street and get a stock offering. They need to go to their local community bank, get a loan, $50,000, $100,000 to operate their business. And if the big banks aren't going to do it, we've we've got to make sure that we're getting money in the hands of Main Street through our community, local banks.
Congressman, is there anything that we can do to get the banks to loosen up lending? Because that's the one thing that I hear a lot of anger about. I'm sure you do, too, that after we, the taxpayers, bailed out these banks, what is going on with lending? I'm hearing it in the housing market, that even people that have really great incomes are having a hard time getting loans. As you say, there are small businesses that just cannot get a loan. What is going on?
Well, I think there are two ways that we're dealing with. One, in the short run, is this small business lending bill. Hopefully we'll get this passed out by the end of July here. That'll put money in the hands of small businesses throughout the country. But the broader issue, and I think it's a big part of Wall Street reform. I was very involved in Wall Street reform on the conference committee, and to me, the Wall Street reform bill that's also pending in the Senate, hopefully will be acted on this week, is really about Main Street. It's about getting Wall Street back focused on what they should be doing, which is investing in American businesses to help create American jobs. Instead, what we've seen on Wall Street was this casino mentality where they were trading these exotic financial instruments that made a lot of money for themselves and were not productive to the economy. And in fact, we found were absolutely destructive to the economy as this house of cards fell. So our Wall Street reform bill brings some common sense and focuses those institutions away from the gambling and casino mentality back to the bread and butter of what Wall Street should be doing, which is investing in our entrepreneurs and our innovators. That's why it's so important that this Wall Street reform bill pass, and hopefully the Senate will get the votes that they need this week to get it done.
Mm-hmm. The Small Business Jobs Tax Relief Act, is that something different? What is that exactly?
There is a tax relief act also that helps with a number of tax cuts, primarily for the small businesses. So there's two things that will be helpful in order to get capital to those small businesses. Are some targeted tax cuts helping just the small businesses that create most of the jobs, and then the small business lending bill in addition to that. Those are two ways in the short run we can address the very real problem that you've identified, Stephanie, which is helping those small businesses. And then the long term, Wall Street reform will get the capital markets thinking again about entrepreneurs and about innovators. And that's really where the American economy has to get back to, which is this innovation economy. Yep. Americans, what we do best is invent things and create things. We've got to get back focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you know, but you're talking to a small business.
Absolutely.
But, you know, absolutely. I mean, and we're all going through it. I mean, you know, I've had to, let me just say, Chris, I've had to make some sacrifices to keep people around that make my life a living hell, Congressman. I mean, that's how bad it is out here. It's but yeah, I mean, it's I think that's the thing. You don't need anybody on TV telling you things are bad out there. And so, you know, I appreciate that you're really looking at what to do to help people. It's interesting in this next election cycle. I got to get your take on Rand Paul's comments. So he's, you know, the Republican Senate candidate. It's this stunning lack of, I guess, remember they used to call themselves compassionate conservatives? He said the poor in the U.S. are enormously better off than the rest of the world, citing a decades-old film that showed even low-income homes had color TVs. I mean, he said, oh, some things could be better, but he praised capitalism as the American way. But, I mean, their idea of capitalism, like you say, it's just no regulation of any kind.
No, it's in his view is that there's no referee on the field and greed can run wild. And I think we've already seen that play. We saw it play out in the previous administration. We saw Wall Street greed run wild. A lot of people made a ton of money. And then as a result, there has been incredible pain here on Main Street and in middle America. Certainly we felt it here in Michigan more than most places. I don't think that is something that the American people want to go back to. We've already seen that play run its course. And it's been pretty ugly the last couple of years. We're still digging out and trying to make the changes necessary to make sure that middle-class Americans have some stability for their families, and can continue to live what I think is the very crux of the American dream, is that we build a life so that our children can have it a little better than we did. And,
yep.
Right now, that's slipped through our fingers, and we've got to return to those so important American core values.
Yep. Congressman Peters, you know, this is a very political question, but, you know, I'm sure you hear it being asked all over television and elsewhere. But, you know, when things are bad out there, I mean, sometimes, you know, what the Republicans are good are just hitting those one notes of making people angry and go, oh, you know, I mean, but here you, this is the kind of opposition we have with the Rand Pauls that really think, you know, BP is the victim and it's un-American to criticize. I mean, you're going, can that really win in this election cycle? And obviously some people are saying, yeah, it can, because people are so angry they're just going to take it out on whoever's in power. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think it's very important for us to continue to talk about our vision for the future, things that we're doing, things that, for example, that I've been doing here and making sure we've got lending for small businesses, focusing on those entrepreneurs and innovators going forward. We have a vision for where we're going to go in the future. So far, a lot of what I've heard on the other side is about no. They've been very good at articulating the problem, but offering no solutions whatsoever. And when they do offer something, it's simply going back to the policies that have failed us in the past. I think the American people certainly are not happy with where we are, but I try to remind folks to where we are now versus where we were 2 years ago. When I first got elected to office in January, this country, we were hemorrhaging 700,000 jobs a month. It was very ugly. We were looking over a cliff into the abyss, and there was no bottom. People were scared. Now people still aren't happy, but at least we're not scared like we were back in January. But now we've got to continue to look forward as to where are we going to move forward, and I think the American people are going to want to see some concrete vision of where we need to go, as opposed to folks who are only just saying no to anything that's being offered. They simply say no. That's not how we move America forward. That's not how we're going to fight for America's middle class.
And you know what they'll say when you say that? They'll say, no, we don't. All right. Representative Kerry Peters, who is doing the Lord's work, just passed the Small Business Lending Fund Act and really in the trenches working for us. Congressman, thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Great to be with you, Stephanie. Thank you for all that you do.
You too, sir. There he goes, Congressman Gary Peters. You know, for instance, Chris, I've downsized my dreams quite a bit, as you know.
Yeah.
On the list used to be marrying Keith Olbermann, maybe my own TV show, I don't know. Now, all I really want is my mobility scooter, which I am awaiting.
Oh, no.
It's being shipped, and I need a, it has a basket and a thing, and I ordered it. You know how it is online, you don't know. Could be 2 days, could be 5 days, could be,
Do you have a tracking number?
Sure. I'm sure that's somewhere in my inbox.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, my friends said they've never seen me give anybody a look. The old woman in the movie elevator, she had a scooter. Mm-hmm. And she said, you gave her the dirtiest. It was just a look of pure white hot envy. Just, I will have that scooter if I must leave you on the floor of the elevator.
I'm surprised you didn't shiver right there.
I was gonna. My friends, if they loved me, could have done it. I'm like, get another one quick. All right. You know, kids, I've been talking about GoToMeeting. That's because we love it. We use it here at the Stephanie Miller Show. You ought to try it, too. It is the easiest and most convenient way to host online meetings for your PC and your Mac. And even now, it's even a little tougher for me to get around. So you have virtually no chance of an in-person meeting with me.
Right. And for tomorrow, we're going to be having a GoToMeeting with Hal on his iPad. Because you can get an iPad app for GoToMeeting now.
It has a free app built specifically for the iPad. It makes online meetings more accessible than ever. With GoToMeeting on your iPad, you can attend online meetings on the go at a cafe, hotel, wherever you are. Just download the GoToMeeting app and join sessions on your iPad tablet in seconds. You can see the host computer screen on your iPad screen.
How awesome is that?
My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, even awesomer. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code Stephanie. That promo code is Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour. Oh, this is very exciting. Amber Lyon, CNN correspondent.
Yeah.
She just dove down into the muck in the Gulf, and we were going to talk to her next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perpetual motion machine. Endlessly satisfy every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, heavens, the off-air conversations. My. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Not in an embarrassing, racist Mel Gibson kind of way, just in a smutty sort of way.
Oh, those new Mel Gibson tapes are awful.
Oh, God. You just think it can't get any worse.
And it does.
Oof. Wow, what did he say in that one? She needs a baseball bat upside her head?
Yes. And
whatever.
He needs a woman, not a dysfunctional girl with a dysfunctional C-word.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that takes away from his looks a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll actually play those tapes a little bit later on this morning.
Won't that be fun?
Yeah.
for the kids. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mike in Madison on the President. Hey, Mike.
Hi. See, I think I mentioned last week what I thought about the polls. And then, you know, 6 out of 10 Americans supposedly don't have confidence in Obama. Now, I don't have confidence in
You're talking
in
about
polls.
The Washington Post ABC News poll. Yeah.
Yes. Now, first of all, I've never been polled. But secondly, if the polls were real...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Why wouldn't they come up with a poll like this? Since the Republicans have made it their main focal point to defeat Obama and America at every turn and not let us move forward, why don't they all just go home and let us govern?
Yeah.
That should be the poll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was talking about Rand Paul's comments, Mike. Did you hear about them? One of the other things he said is drug abuse should be paid for at the local level. I mean, it's just this belief that government just should not be involved in anything or anybody. You know, I mean, and so you're absolutely right. If you think government's so bad, why do you want to be in it?
Right.
Don't get anyway. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. That's the latest. Here's the good news for us material-wise, Chris. Which crazy Republican do you focus on every day? We have to create a new feature for this.
Yeah.
I mean, we need some sort of election year right-wing world, because I don't even know who's crazier. Michelle Bachmann, Rand Paul, Sharon Engel.
There are more,
yes.
Too.
I mean, literally, who says that with how bad things are out there? We all know people. I was telling you, I was literally talking to a friend like off the ledge yesterday that is just in... You know, a lot of actually two best friends that have not worked in I don't even know how long, yeah. You know. Anyway, so Rand Paul's out there going, oh, the poor in the U.S. are enormously better off than the rest of the world. Oh, it's not so bad. It's like, shut up, like you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Ugh, and he's saying some stupid film. Look, everybody's got a color TV. Must be good. I mean, seriously, you think things are good enough? Is that your prescription for our economy? You know, in the job situation? Oh, it's good enough. Stop whining. You're better off than most people around the world. It's like, well, yes, that's true. But, you know, we're Americans. We aspire right. to something better. That's the American dream. And that's what kills me. They want to give no help to anybody of any kind.
That's not the American way. Americans help each other.
Yes. Okay. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, of course there's extremes. We're not talking about everybody's on charity or everybody. It's just because... Who said that lately? Which crazy right-winger was that? Like, oh, people are just lazy. They like getting welfare.
I think that might have been Sharon Engel.
Probably. David Diaper Vitter, meanwhile. Did you hear this one? Republican Senator David Hooker Vitter. Who apparently likes the
diapers.
Diapers in a hooker kind of way. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
He says he supports conservative organizations challenging President Barack Obama's citizenship in court. That's what he's running on. With the, you know what? The guy running against him, Charlie Melikon, his spokesman made a really good point. With Louisiana family suffering the biggest man-made disaster in history, David Vitter is trying to score political points by perpetuating a completely debunked conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I mean, with everything going on, really? That's what you're supporting. He said at the town hall, I think that's the valid and most possibly effective grounds to do it. Effective in that it has not a chance in hell because the president was born here. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's an effective way to do it. Yes, I would get some conservative organizations together and spend a lot of time and money on that. Because that's going to help a lot of people. Okay, so... Meanwhile, by the by, so Michael Steele.
Yeah.
You know that he's so incompetent, they have started, as I said, this shadow RNC. Here's something they just dug up. Ed Gillespie, the former, former RNC chair?
Right.
He still owns the deed to the RNC. It's still actually registered to him.
Hmm.
They don't He's, yeah. I think.
So
Michael Steele's like the queen now. He's just a figurehead. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Amber Lyon, CNN correspondent from the Gulf, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the lowest I've ever sunk, and I once made out with
Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This is very exciting. Amber Lyon, a CNN correspondent, I've been watching her on TV. She's terrific. And yeah. She just dove right into the BP spill area with Philippe Cousteau,
yeah.
Who's also a CNN contributor. And we've got to find out what that was like. Amber, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I wish Philippe could be here too, but he's here in spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the first word I would think of is ill. What was this like? You had to wear a hazmat suit? And tell us about it.
Yeah, just because right now scientists don't know the long-term health effects of a dispersant crude mixture on humans or even marine life for that matter.
Right.
So in order to get into the water safely, we had to wear these big rubber hazmat suits. And normally when I dive at this time of the year, I just wear a thin dive skin. It's made of nylon, but this is made of a thick vulcanized rubber, which is the same thing used to make those little dinghy boats that you see out on the water, the rafts.
Right.
So you get into this suit, and what it does is it keeps your skin completely dry underneath it. But the problem with that in the heat is that you have this rubber just pushing against your skin. You can't get wet, so you're just dripping sweat underneath there. So it's very uncomfortable, but safe because it keeps an airtight seal, so no water's supposed to get in when you enter the water.
Well, and you're a reporter, so presumably you wanted to do this. You didn't just draw the short end of the stick in the CNN newsroom.
And that's what's really funny, Stephanie, because I just started recently. I just signed on as a full-time correspondent, so everyone was saying, oh, so you're the rookie. This is your initiation into CNN.
Yeah. Who wants to dive into the muck? Yeah. Amber, tell us what it, I can't even imagine what it actually looks like and feels like to be in it.
Yeah. Well, I have actually been begging CNN to let me do this story because I'm an avid scuba diver and I've been wanting to know what was going on under that water. But I'd say more than anything is, and that's why the scientists kept calling it the hidden oil, is it wasn't the thick muck that you've been seeing, the thick slicks and the stuff you've been seeing wash up on the beaches and the marshes. This is more beads of oil under the water. So it wasn't as disgusting as someone would say it was, because the little beads were just floating there in the water rather than like a thick consistency of material. I don't know if you've seen some of those mm-hmm. news shots where reporters have taken gloves and dipped it into
yep,
the oil,
right.
The
yep.
oil just sticks onto the glove. This was definitely a different consistency, just little beads that weren't attached to each other floating, millions of them, underneath the water.
Wow. It seems like, boy, it's tough for us lay people to keep track here, but so this new cap that went on appears for the moment to be working, right? They're testing today? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, they're going to be testing it. They said as of yesterday, they should know within the next 48 hours whether it's going to be working.
Mm-hmm. And now, I guess what I don't understand is, because they're saying that if it does work, it's going to capture all the oil. The relief wells are still going in, though, right?
That's correct. They're still drilling those relief wells. These are a backup to the backup. So they're hoping that it's going to work. And as we said, we'll know within the next 48 hours.
Wow.
It's not a final fix, but they expect it to significantly reduce the amount of oil leaking into the Gulf, which will please a lot of environmentalists and the boat
yeah.
captains who we were out with on this dive, because what really concerned them about the oil we were seeing underneath the water in the water column, the dispersed oil, was that can't be cleaned up. I was talking with BP's COO, Doug Suttles. They don't have the technology to get down there in the water column and suck up all these little beads of oil. And it's really up for debate how toxic that is for the environment.
Right.
But Philippe Cousteau says, based on his research, oil, those little beads of oil, crude oil is toxic to fish, eggs, and larvae at one part per billion. That's about equivalent to a drop of oil in a swimming pool.
Mm.
And we were seeing millions of them out there. So
yeah, I was going to say, I mean, gosh, from his lifetime of, I'm sure, working with his father and the amount that he knows about marine life, I mean, this must just be beyond his worst nightmare for sea life.
Yeah, and Philippe is such a passionate person about what he does. You could see it in his eyes when he was out there seeing some of this foamy dispersed oil laying on top of the water before we entered, and you could just see how upset he was. And he even said he wishes he didn't have to be out there, but he is so passionate about what he does and wanting to bring these photos back to the public that's, you know, why he was there. And one of the reasons I decided to invite him along as well is, you know, especially we were planning on having the first live shot underwater in open water in CNN's history, and I thought, you know, what a better person to bring along than someone whose grandfather invented scuba diving.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I know this sounds like a joke, but Kevin Costner's giant sucky machine is on its way to the Gulf. You were just saying that, you know, BP doesn't have the technology, but I've seen this thing, you know, at least demonstrated on TV, the centrifuge that separates oil and water. What is the feeling about that? Is that going to, people are feeling that might work?
I think it's really up in the air. As you said, his giant sucky machine, I think some people, you know, don't know quite how well it will work or not. But I think more than anything is the hope that it will work, and which is, it's great that it's being tested just like a whale and other technology.
Right.
But one of the problems, from my research and everyone I've spoken with is that it's very hard to get something that deep into the water column. We were seeing little pieces of oil down. Our first dive, we went down 25 feet, and we were still seeing it down there. And what makes it difficult with this technology to get down there and suck that up is there's sea life there as well.
Oh boy.
That you could be sucking up as you're trying to just get that oil out of the water. So
what a mess.
Pretty much they're relying on Mother Nature to do this, bacteria to eat up the oil. And that's also up for debate right now as to how that's going to affect the ecosystem. But one thing Philippe kept telling me was that the more oil-eating bacteria you have in the water, the more that bacteria is also going to eat oxygen. And obviously fish, other aquatic life, rely on oxygen to survive.
Right.
So.
What a mess. Amber, they tell me that you have more important things to go do now. Well, we so appreciate your time, and we hope you'll come back and update us on what's happening down there. Thanks
yeah,
so
much. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us on, and we're out here. I'm still in New Orleans, so stay tuned to CNN. We're going to be bringing you guys some as much as we can get the public updated on the situation. That's our jobs, and we're sticking to it.
Absolutely. Amber Lyon from CNN. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. There she goes. Amber Lyon.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd probably take a passeroonie on the, would you like to put on the hazmat suit and go.
Computer says no.
Yeah.
Oh, I have I'm working on a piece about a financial reform. I'm very busy now. I can't do the thing.
It seems to me that BP just wanted to spray this dispersant in there to make the oil invisible.
Yeah, well, that's what Jim's been saying.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
You know, there is supposed to be a purpose for dispersant, and it's, you know, it is supposed to keep it from hitting the shores. I mean, that's why they use it, but I think you're right. It's like they have never used it in these quantities,
right.
And at this point, you're right. It not only is hiding it, but it may be making it worse between, like she was saying, they don't even know the effects long-term on people, on sea life. It's
which is why she had to wear a vulcanized hazmat suit.
Yeah, which, by the way, that, first of all, I wouldn't do, because that would, you would make anybody look fat. by the way, thank you, by the way, everybody keeps sending me the mobility devices. There's some nifty new things. There's a Freedom Leg that it's a thing you strap on and you can walk. Mein Führer, I can walk. You see, it's a something that you put on your leg.
Mein Führer!
But there's a lot of straps, and it would make my thigh look really fat. So I said no.
But
thank you to all the listeners that sent that one.
What's that, like a peg leg?
Yeah, I don't
like
know
a
what
pirate?
It is. It's something that you can walk on your leg with the cast on it. It's something that suspends that part of your leg up. I don't really understand it.
Ow.
I know. All right. So, yes, it is not a joke. Kevin Costner's giant sucky machine is on its way to the Gulf. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it demonstrated? It looks really cool.
I haven't.
But the problem is, like she was saying, they're demonstrating on TV, it's like a little bit of water.
Right.
And you go, oh, my God, because it just sucks the oil right out. And then you can see it puts the clean water right back. It's just saying.
But
It's like the first time you ever saw the Juice Tiger or something on an infomercial. It's like magic.
But can it do it in large enough quantities?
That's what she's saying about getting it. And then she was talking about you could also suck up sea life and to get it down that deep. And I think the other thing is I don't think anyone has ever dealt with this kind of quantity of oil in this, you know, anyway. That's what it is. It's a centrifuge system, so it's on the way. Kevin Costner's had been testifying, as you saw, before Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not in that accent from the Robin Hood movie, because then he would not be taken
what
seriously.
What accent? There wasn't an accent in that movie. Are you kidding me?
All right. 44 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the latest from the Gulf and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, I'm not as brave as reporter Amber Lyon. I would not put on the hazmat suit and dive into the Gulf.
Right.
But I will dive into Right Wing World next, which is almost as icky.
Yeah.
49 minutes after the hour.
It's filled with dispersant.
Is there something to disperse, Right Wing World? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. TMZ is reporting that George Steinbrenner has died.
Yeah, New York Yankees legend.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to David in San Francisco on the oil spill. Hi, Dave.
Hey, hi, Steph. You know, I guess Jim's not there, but hey, Chris.
Jim will be here in a moment.
Yeah, well, I actually have a little conspiracy snorsage if he's listening.
A snorsage? Go ahead.
Well, it's the basic idea that self-preservation is not cost-effective, according to some of these people. I'll turn it right into the snorsage. Do you remember John Poindexter? He was originally mm-hmm. the guy that was put in charge of Homeland Security. So we've got a huge Homeland Security problem in the Gulf of Mexico, and instead of that, they want to go spend money staring at grandma in the airport line, grandma naked with these machines.
Yeah.
And so self-preservation, hypothetically, we should be buying a mass transit system so that the people of the area may be able to evacuate quickly. So Homeland Security money should be going straight into mass transit for the area. But also, something like when Poindexter was put in charge, he had been convicted of fraud and then not absolved because Reagan Bush couldn't do that, but they commuted his sentence, so he didn't have to serve, but he had been convicted of fraud.
You know, we're having Lawrence Corbon, Reagan's Assistant Secretary of Defense later. It'd be interesting to run that by him.
Yeah. Well, putting a fraud guy in charge of a whole department, a cabinet position like Homeland Security, meant that you could not, you know, like a person with fraud conviction can't vote. Well, they also can't manage governmental money. And by statute, they can't manage governmental money. You put a guy like Poindexter in charge of Homeland Security, a brand new department getting flooded with money, it was just like organized crime was licking at the chops. So essentially, the Gulf of Mexico, this is the thing that cannot be said, essentially, is that there was so much corruption with Katrina that all of the governmental officials down there had stolen somewhere between $117 and $187 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So hypothetically, federal money could never go there again until that money got accounted for. And so now all of a sudden we got an even worse disaster. Everybody in the world is begging for more aid down there, and we're prevented by the corrupt officials who are stealing the money before it even gets into the bank account.
Yep. So, all right, honey.
Yeah.
Yep. No, good points all. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? See what's doing. Stuart Varney, who I always think is that guy with the painter's cap on, but it's not. That's another Stuart. Ed Varney. Who am I thinking of? You know what I'm talking about. Ernest. This is the guy on Fox and Friends.
Now you've got me confused. Is it Ed Varney? I don't know. Oh.
Okay. Here we go again with the Obama's anti-business.
The president has lost business, basically. He's lost the support of business, and he's lost the public perception that he has business on his side. Rahm Emanuel says that business should be grateful for all that the administration has done for it. And Valerie Jarrett, who is essentially the point person for liaison between the White House and various interest groups, she said, we saved you. The administration saved business. We're going in the right direction. We got you out of this awful mess.
Yes, that's actually
demonstrably
true. Don't you love this talking point, anti-business? I mean, anti-business means that you should have, BP should have, like, any kind of regulation at all.
Right.
Or Wall Street should have any sort of, I mean, it really is stunning. That's what, who was I watching? Is there a difference between any of the Fox Blondes? I don't even know whose show it was. I stumbled on it yesterday.
Megyn Kelly?
Who does it matter?
Elise Wiel?
Don't know.
Gretchen Carlson?
She had Hugh Hewitt on, and it literally was like, you cannot tax big corporations apparently in any way. I mean, it's like...
That's insane.
Yeah. Okay, because then they might not hire or something. I don't...
Plenty of businesses are
barely paying taxes now. They're not hiring because it's just...
Right.
Plenty of businesses
that pay taxes hire people all the time.
Thank you. I mean, really, does anyone think
that... Stephanie Miller Show pay taxes?
I'm almost certain. I'm a big picture kind of person.
Oh, I
don't get into the details.
Okay, you steer the direction of the company.
Shh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm sure our enormous assets are offshore somewhere. Okay, Glenn Beck on the radio, and let me just say before we play it, I have no idea what he's talking about. No worldly idea.
People are coming together on the left, the extreme left, mm-hmm. the radical activists.
Yes.
We've told you already, the army, if you will, of the extreme left
uh-huh.
is gathering,
oh.
and they are coming to the conclusion of cops are bad, kill the cops, they're the oppressors. Uh-huh. It's all the 1960s, you know, uh-huh. pig stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's the same stuff.
Uh-huh.
But they are revealing themselves as baby killers.
Wait a minute. Damn it. We've spent all this time on the show focusing on killing cops, and now what?
We haven't killed one baby this morning.
And
we're falling behind.
Splitting my focus. What? Who's talking about killing cops, for God's sakes? Oh, yeah, exactly. I want to have one sole focus.
What he's talking...
The more cops I kill, the less babies I can kill.
What he's talking about is he's got this little protest thing going on in
uh-huh.
August up on
uh-huh.
the Lincoln Memorial.
Uh-huh, and we are protesting?
It's going to be a Tea Party type of
uh-huh.
thing. He wants his country back or whatever.
Okay, sure.
And the new Black Panther Party said that they're going to have a presence out there, too, to make sure things don't get out of hand.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what he was saying. The American left is gathering. It's a gathering storm, and it's coming for us.
And have the Black Panthers mentioned anything about killing cops and babies?
No, they haven't.
Okay.
No. But apparently they did in the 60s, according to Glenn Beck.
Oh.
And it's going to happen again.
Uh-huh.
He's crazy.
Let's just, you know what? I think the less said about that, the better. Let's move
He's
on
crazy.
To Rush Limbaugh, shall we?
Look, folks, an informed electorate would realize that after 3.5 years, it's safe to say this is the Democrats' economy. Obama didn't inherit anything.
What?
This is not Bush's economy.
3.5?
There's no Republican on earth.
Wait a minute.
Not one. Not even the worst rhino you can imagine. There's not one Republican who in the last 18 months would have implemented even one of Obama's ideas.
Wait, hold on now. Let's go back. Obama's presidency started 3.5 years ago, technically?
I think he means when the Democrats took the House and
Senate. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yes, let's start it there. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's.
You can't say that it's been Obama's economy for 3.5 years when Obama has been in office for only 1 year.
That would seem to be just a basic, borderline fairness starting point, wouldn't it?
Or math.
Maybe
he's not good at math.
Maybe not. Charles, although maybe he's not because he didn't get anywhere near as much as he wanted for his horribly ostentatious New York City apartment. It looks like Liberace's house like exploded inside of Rush Limbaugh's house.
It had frescoes on the ceiling with gold leaf like wainscoting. It was awful.
Can I just say, for someone that's been a gay basher all his life, so gay that apartment.
Yes. Oh my God.
Okay, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
Ripper.
I think he knows he's got a weak hand. He did this, as Mara indicates, as a way to strengthen the base in a base election. But overall, I think it's going to hurt them. The majority of Americans are against this lawsuit.
The lawsuit against Arizona.
Yes, which clearly the Arizona law, unconstitutional. So, okay, weak case, but to me, clearly unconstitutional. Okay. Didn't we have some sort of war of some... You know me, not a student of history, really, Chris.
Right.
Wasn't there some sort of war about the states can't just do whatever they want? That you gotta... You know, there's a...
There's a federal government.
As I understand it, it's technically called the United States of America, meaning that there are states, but they are, in fact, united. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more right-wing world as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. What is the, they want Stephanie Miller to replace Larry King Facebook group up to now?
Oh,
500 and something people, for God's sake. It's a groundswell. It's a tsunami.
Well, yeah, you have over 3,500 fans on your Facebook page, which means that about 3,000 of your fans don't want you to do it.
Oh, well. All right. Fine. I have Carbonite Online backup in my computer. That's the important thing. It's a must for your computer, too. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac. Whenever you're connected to the Internet, go to Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. You can also email us all at the regular StephanieMiller.com. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. I still have my leg this morning. I did not have the cast redone, although I might. I can't.
Oh, there it goes.
You like to attribute everything to menopause, which I am too young for. My ankles are not swelling because of menopause.
You are not too young for menopause.
Yes, I am.
No, you are not.
Parts of her are.
Thank you, Jim. All right. So anyway, yeah, I have the cast on the foot, and I don't know, it gets tighter and looser depending. I don't know what's going on down there. But you, the important thing is you guys came and did chores for me at my little barbecue this weekend. You carried wood for me, Chris.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I carry a lot of wood for you.
Bill writes, Steph, it may have been a chore for Chris, but other guys are happy to get wood for you any day. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, Bill. You're forced to, or you'll get fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say something about your spectacular ass, or you're fired.
Exactly.
Sometimes getting wood is inadvertent. You just suddenly realize you're carrying wood. And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Jim was helping me out the other day. Not so much helping me out, but just walking behind me and looking at my ass. Not really opening doors for me or anything. He just wanted to see if,
I couldn't get past all the various mechanical devices you're using to keep them falling over.
That's so sexy.
Victor writes, hey, Steph, you need to move off the planet or we're all going to die because your luck will be the death of us all. Hope the end of the world is not today. Enjoy your time on Mars. Oh
dear.
Is that hey, Mars needs...
Stephanie Miller.
Why not? Alan in Columbus, Ohio. Steph, I really enjoy listening to your show, especially the voice imitations. That would be you, Jim. One that really brings a smile is when you guys incorporate William F. Buckley. Oh, is there a way to bring him into your program some more? Loyal fan Alan in Columbus. Thank you, Alan. He happened to be dead, so it is hard on a topical basis, Alan, to incorporate him daily, but I suppose if you ask Jim nicely...
A Lenin shake brings all the boys to the yard, and there they considered opinion that it's better than yours. I could instruct you, but it would be for considerable financial remuneration. and, of course, all of this is null and void should you be lactose intolerant.
Thank you, Jim. Why? Him singing milkshake? We don't know.
Because it's funny.
We just thought it would be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So Rebecca just brought in my microwaved fish because that's what I brought for breakfast
sure,
tonight.
That's
I need,
what it was.
I'm in every. All you all are in elder care now because yes. I can't walk. However, at least I am not somebody in Reno who microwaves squid.
What?
Oh.
Ew.
Now, that's a bad... Because, you know, we all have someone in our office that makes something really stanky in the microwave.
Usually it's burned popcorn. You can't get that...
That smell does not come out forever.
No.
Calamari is already kind of rubbery. If you microwave it, it's like a Super Bowl.
That's not the recommended cooking method for squid.
Reno police said squid left cooking in a microwave is the suspected culprit of noxious fumes that left two apartment dwellers queasy. They were made ill by the fumes and treated at the hospital. Now, that's a bad smell, but you have to be treated at the hospital. Squid. All right.
Calamari is delicious. Mm-hmm.
Not as delicious as bacon. I don't know why. This is like the food stack now.
Okay.
Uh-huh. This is some very upsetting... A dispute over the ownership of a frying pan leads to third-degree burns and the discovery of bacon in a closet.
What?
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah.
Closeted bacon.
All right. Fabulous.
There's something about bacon. It's like crack to people. I have a friend who's a vegetarian, but she eats bacon. So she's technically a bacetarian.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you're really not a vegetarian of any kind.
No.
But,
no.
Okay. If you say so. Just people get very sensitive about, yes, I am. I'm like, all right.
No, you're not.
Okay, all right.
But if I see a little piglet, I will hit it over the head with an anvil so I can make bacon out of it. But other than that, I'm a vegetarian.
South Bend, Indiana, the breaking news. A dispute over the ownership of a frying pan led to third-degree burns for one South Bend man and 11 stitches for another.
Oh.
Yeah, bacon just brings out the beast in people. A 49-year-old man cooking bacon on the stove at a house when his brother-in-law claimed the pan was his. An argument led the man cooking, cornering the younger man into a closet, spilling hot grease on the younger man.
Oh,
ow.
The report said the 47-year-old then grabbed the pan from the attacker and hit him in the head twice. And police did report finding two pieces of bacon in the closet.
They felt that was important to report.
It's evidence.
It's evidence, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Gosh, Jim, here's the quote. Let's see who's... Kelly sent me this. It's quite a message to Americans. Republicans believe $30 billion for unemployment benefits don't deserve a vote because the money would be added to the deficit. But Republicans also believe adding the cost of $678 billion in tax cuts for the wealthy to the deficit is just fine. Who said that?
Barry Goldwater.
No, it doesn't matter, but it's good. It's whoever said it, it's good... No, it's from Washington Monthly, but it's really true when you think about Republican,
Wheels of right-wing hypocrites!
Yeah, tax cuts for billionaires, that's the sky's the limit. But you're going to help people who desperately need a job.
Exactly. Oh, what?
Go inherit $1 million, you
crazy bum. All right, we're still in the middle of right-wing world, might as well do a live edition of What the Fox? Apparently the biggest story ever that affects everyone's life everywhere is the Black Panther thing that's on... Fox.
Oh, yeah, that voter intimidation thing
every
that
day.
Fox is trying to push.
Hi, Rich in Ohio. What's going on with the Black Panther thing?
I just wondered if you guys have played the audio for your audience that was let out last week about the cracker rant where they were talking about killing crackers and cracker babies and so on. Because when you were talking about the Rush comments...
Glenn Beck, actually.
Excuse me?
It was the Glenn Beck comment.
You say it was a Glenn Beck comment?
Yes.
Then you're saying that it's not alarming that they would be at Tea Party rallies. There's nothing to be alarmed about there.
Well, there's not any more alarming than teabaggers.
Yeah, carrying racist signs.
I don't think you heard any teabaggers talking about killing people and killing their babies. And if you play that audio, have you played the audio for your audience?
What audio are you talking about?
I'm talking about the audio that starts out, I hate every iota of a cracker. It talks about the black...
How do you know they weren't talking about Ritz crackers or Wheat Thins?
Excuse me? No, he says, he even says, you call yourself a black man sliding down the street with a white cracker whore bee on your arm. And then he goes on to say, if you...
Who said this? Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Who said this?
Pretty sure it wasn't Young.
Right. Well, he's surfing. He can't talk now.
Yeah. I've never heard of this audio.
What the Fox?
And I watch Fox News 6 hours a day. I've never heard this audio.
If that existed, they'd be playing it every 10 minutes on Fox.
It could be Mel Gibson. Maybe he hates white people, too. Who knows?
Well, certain white people.
All right.
You know who I'm talking about.
You know who you are.
You know my agents fired me. They let me go. You know who agents are, don't you?
We have...
Do I have to spell it out?
We have the new Mel Gibson audio. We apologize in advance. All right. Speaking of distasteful audio, here is Bill Kristol on the Brett Bear.
The certainty is that if Obama has his way, taxes will go up, regulations will be more burdensome. Blah, 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 blah. And that's the fact, and that's what businesses small and large are looking at. I myself am not a huge sympathizer with these big business lobbyists who play ball with the Obama administration, think they can cut deals, and then they look up in shock and discover, oh, my God, this isn't going to turn out to be too good for us. They should be more principled defenders of limited government, in my humble opinion.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the kind of limited government that allowed the BP disaster to happen.
Right.
That kind of limited government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, way to go, Bill Kristol.
Yes.
He's always...
Wrong about everything. Yeah, I know. All right.
All right.
That's why I don't spend any more time on him. O'Reilly.
America can no longer afford liberal policies.
Okay.
The country simply does not have enough money to pay the bills of hundreds of a million Americans right now.
The money's there. It's just going to all your billionaire buddies who aren't paying any kind of taxes at all.
I don't. It really is hard to believe in this economy they're defending that.
Mm-hmm.
That they really would. What was the number
the
I just read? $600 and something billion. Like, that's important to make sure rich people in this economy don't have to pay their fair share.
That's right.
If we're actually spending money on helping people, that's, you know, causing the deficit to skyrocket, and it's the worst thing ever. But if, you know, multi-billionaires have their businesses offshore and don't pay a dime in taxes.
Okay, but the point is, Bush's tax cuts for the riches are what caused these huge deficits. That and his unnecessary war. Ugh.
Oh, that's just the liberal media talking.
Yes, exactly. Okay, Glenn Beck. Must we have a double helping of Glenn Beck?
Well, he has a radio show and a TV show.
Oh, well, I guess we have to.
Can't get enough of him.
America, the founders knew
that
the republic could not stand without checks and balances,
right,
without three equal branches, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch.
Yeah, thank
but you also needed a free press. Checks and balances. We have the most radicalized president this nation has ever seen.
Speaking of non-sequiturs,
Yeah,
okay.
We don't have a free press now? Where the hell is he talking?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know. I have no platform at all except for the several hours a day I'm on television, on the radio.
You were just complaining that we have too much Glenn Beck. How can he say that he doesn't have a platform?
We don't have a free press.
There
I have no platform.
There is no freedom of the press. No one is listening to me right now.
Wait, play the other one for Jim, just because the Glenn Beck radio is always a special kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are coming together on the left.
Yes.
The extreme left.
It's
the radical activists. We've told you already, the army, if you will, of the extreme left is gathering. And they are coming to the conclusion of cops are bad, kill the cops, they're the oppressors. It's all the 1960s, you know,
stuff.
It's the same stuff. But they are revealing themselves as baby killers.
Yes. It's so obvious, isn't it? Look, I have a picture of Hitler and a picture of Malcolm X, and I have an arrow between the two. What does that tell you? That you're freaking
insane? We're liberals.
Insane?
We can multitask, for God's sakes. For instance, Jim, do you ever split your I mean, if you get focused on killing cops, it doesn't prevent you from killing babies, does it?
We haven't killed one baby this morning. What is wrong with us?
I haven't had a single gay abortion this morning. I'm missing it.
All right.
By the way,
that concludes Right Wing World.
Stephen in Phoenix writes, this tape that the Black Panther Party...
Yes.
Yeah. This tape apparently occurred back in 2008, and the Bush Department of Justice did not find any reason to prosecute.
Huh.
So,
That's weird.
So I don't know what Fox News is screaming about.
The Bush administration is doing nothing to stop the...
What?
Oh, no.
That's right. Oh, no, I did see that on TV yesterday. That's why I've forgotten. I was like, what? Should I even mention this Panther thing? Oh, I see. It's something that George Bush didn't... Probably, so you can see why it's a racist Obama thing. Keep the white man down kind of...
The Obama administration has been in charge for 6.5 years now.
What?
Rush Limbaugh said that. Like, the Obama administration's been in office 3 years now?
Clearly,
3.5
has a liberal bias.
All right. You know, I have the actual facts on my computer, Chris, and they are encased in carbonite, so that I sometimes have to check.
I'm going to need a neck brace after that segue.
Thank you. You know, every time you add photos, files, music, facts, if you're a liberal to your computer, the cost of losing them grows. When your computer crashes, you think, I would pay anything to get my files back. Well, you don't have to pay anything. All you have to do is get Carbonite Online Backup. Hello, $55 a year. That is pennies a day. That's less than $5 a month. 15 cents a day. I did all that math.
Wow.
All just right then. Mm-hmm. Automatically backs up the files
math
on your
hard.
On your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet. Use my offer code Stephanie for this special offer for my listeners. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Aren't your computer files worth backing up for just 15 cents a day? I think so. Let me answer that for you.
Computer says yes.
Your computer told me yes. Mm-hmm. Go to Carbonite.com today. Enter the offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with the new poll. On the president as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Child is black, child is white. The whole
it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Get it. Go on. Get it. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Travis in Chicago claims to be a libertarian. He is neither left nor right. He just happened to stumble across my show.
And that I did.
Yes, and he would just like me to be fair. Hello, Travis. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead. You just like to listen to both sides, don't you?
I do listen to both sides.
Yes.
And I hate to say it, but you're making Glenn Beck look good on this one.
Okay. And why is that?
You need to report the whole facts when it comes to that 2008 case. Bush actually...
The Black Panther thing. Hmm.
The new Black Panther group, two members of the Black Panther group, were outside of a election polling place, one with a billy bat, shooing away voters. The voters that they
And this was where...
And I'm a libertarian. I
know. I understand.
And I'm also an election judge.
I understand. When did this happen?
This happened in Philadelphia in 2008. Mm-hmm. I happen to be an elections judge, so I take our vote very seriously.
This sounds like a local issue and something the Department of Justice really shouldn't be getting involved in anyway.
Well, it's actually their jurisdiction. It's a federal offense to prevent someone from voting. So
who are they preventing from voting, sir?
Did anyone
not vote because of this?
What?
Did anyone not vote because of this? That's kind of germane to the issue here.
Well, germane to the issue is that they were within 100
feet of the voting place. No, answer my question, sir.
They were within 100 feet of the voting place.
Did anyone not vote because of this?
Disenfranchising the voter, which is a federal offense.
Did anyone not vote because of this?
And also on top of that...
He's not
and also, one time at band camp, guy gave me a stank eye, and so I was not able to vote for...
This has been their meme all the time. Voter fraud. People being intimidated from voting by nasty, dark people.
Because there was a guy with a thing at a place.
What actually is happening is election fraud. Machines steal votes that have already been cast.
Mary in Long Island on the Black Panther case.
Hi guys, keep at it. You know, please keep going. Your voice needs to be out there. Don't forget, the right wing creates its own reality.
That's right.
They don't have to do anything with facts. That was told to Ron Suskind years ago, early in the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. You know, you're the reality based community in journalism, but here we create our own reality. They haven't stopped doing it. Now, I think Keith Olbermann dealt with this on his show last night. I wasn't totally into it, but you can check it for me. And he debunked it or something like that. So
yes.
I don't know what the deal is. Notice, why wouldn't it be the SDS instead of the Black Panthers? Notice that. You know, the SDS was kind of radical. I know. I remember those times.
Right. I mean, Mary, this is what Fox News, among others on the right, do. I mean, we literally are in the biggest environmental disaster in our history. Our economy is obviously in big trouble. This is the story 24/7? Is some guy with a bat at a place somewhere in 2008?
Don't look at that.
You know, angry Negroes.
They probably weren't even, you know, members of the new Black Panther Party. They were probably just a couple of black guys, you know, yelling.
Just a couple of black guys.
This is what Eric Bowler was talking about yesterday.
Right.
I mean, this has really just gotten to be the summer of race baiting.
Yep.
It's the whole, in case you haven't noticed, the President Obama's black.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
He's black.
Yeah, and as Rush Limbaugh says, he'd be, what would he be? Oh, he'd be a tour guide in Hawaii if he wasn't black.
Well, at least he's acknowledging he was born in Hawaii.
It still begs the question, why didn't Bush's Department of Justice bring charges against this if it was such a big deal?
Right.
How could he be a tour guide in Hawaii, Jim, if he wasn't even born? He's not even from there.
I say Hawaii, I'm in Kenya.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a lusty old gal, aren't you?
Mm. Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward wants to, with this Black Panther thing that's a big story, apparently, on Fox.
Well, I found this article from the Pulitzer Prize-winning commentator, Cynthia Tucker. About the Bush DOJ deciding new Black Panthers, no major case. As many observers noted on that day, no matter how badly these two new Black Panthers were behaving, it's a heavily Democratic precinct.
Right.
You don't typically intimidate your own voters. There was no way in hell they could have been intimidating Republicans and keeping them from voting. It's nonsense. It's a lie.
All right. What the fox? Okay. You know what, kids? It's Tuesday. It's time for Charlie Finn.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Yeah, why? Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I tell you, I was missing crazy guys with berets, so I was sort of glad when the story popped up. We haven't had crazy guys in berets for a long while.
Damn it, SLA, where did you go?
Exactly.
Out of mine hole.
Where are Tico and Yolanda and, you know, Cubby and Annette and the rest of the SLA? And,
this story caught us by surprise.
Tico and Jermaine and the rest of the SLA.
Yeah.
This story caught us by surprise because it happened in 2008.
And it didn't happen under this administration.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's always.
You know what I love about the video is when these big, scary guys in berets are standing there intimidating voters, there's a middle-aged white lady who walks behind them talking on her cell phone.
Yeah.
Hold the table for me, dear, and order me a glass of Chardonnay. I'll be there in 5 minutes. After being intimidated by voters here.
Yeah, I mean, it does take you a minute. Like, you'll get the right-wing caller, and then you're like, what? What huge story are we missing? What? Oh, something that happened in 2008. And
I remember seeing that video back then, and it's like, we're talking about still talking about that?
Oh.
And according to Rush Limbaugh, Obama's been in office since late 2006.
Yes.
In Rush's mind.
Charlie Pierce,
I have to admit, this one caught me by surprise, too. I'd forgotten about this. And then, of course, this guy, and I will give his name all the respect, sort of J. Christian Adams. and his sister W. Buddhist Adams, and his grandmother L. Presbyterian Adams, who's bringing this up, has done a lot of really wonderful things, including admitting that he doesn't know anything about this.
Exactly. So Charlie Pierce, the new Washington Post ABC News poll, not good news for the president. It's not good news for anybody. Have you read these numbers? Nearly 60% of the American voters say they lack faith in President Obama. Reversal from the start of his presidency. Confidence in Obama at a new low, but his numbers are still higher than lawmakers of either party ahead of the midterms. 68% expressed the same sentiments about Democrats in Congress. 72% said the same of Republicans.
But the problem is most of the crazy people running as a Republican aren't in Congress now.
Right.
Which means that there's a throw the bums out thing. That's what you wind up with.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if Sharon Engel wins in Nevada what's his name in Kentucky, Rand Paul. I won't be surprised if those two people win at all.
Yeah. Wow. Let's review the latest crazy Rand Paul comments. So he said, it's not so bad for the poor here. They're still better off than in other countries. They got their color TVs.
This is Phil Graham's old argument when Phil Graham ran for president.
Right.
When he said we had the fattest poor people in the world. Right. And this, I mean, this has been, you know, hey, they all have cell phones. What the heck? You know, it's not like the United States is an African nation completely decimated by the heritage of colonialism or anything. No, we're still, you know, we have cable television.
Yeah. I mean, it really is stunning. And then what was the other thing you said, that paying for, you know, drug addiction, that should be a local thing, you know, for drug treatment.
Yes, and every mayor of every city in America went, oh,
what? Yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
I mean, look at all the people who aren't dying in the streets.
That's right. The overwhelming majority of Americans are not dying in the streets. Okay? So let's just set the bar where it belongs. And if you want to find a better country, you want to find a country where a higher percentage of its population is not dying in the streets, go find it and move there, pal.
Yeah.
Go to Denmark.
Exactly.
You know, wait, I can do that.
Yeah, you passed a lot more live people in the street than dead people, didn't you? I rest my case.
That's right. I've had conversations with far more living people than dead people in my life. But that's only because I don't cover the Massachusetts legislature anymore.
So speaking of Massachusetts, I mean, this is what's happened to the Republican Party. I mean, there are two, maybe three reasonable people in it at this point. Olympia Snowe, Scott Brown pushed the financial reform to the edge of final passage, saying they're going to support it. So three of them, right? We got what's her name? Esmeralda. What's her
Collins.
Name? Yes,
Collins.
Senator Ghostly of Maine.
Snow and Senator Pink Leather Shorts.
Yes, so they
Senator Pink J. Senator Pink J. Leather Shorts up here.
See, your Senator Fold, exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. But you watch, though, now that he's done this, he's going to vote for something completely nuts within the month just to balance it out.
That's what I mean. That's what
this
they have
the
to do.
The man is on. He casts a respectably sensible vote for what is really a very centrist and kind of watered down financial reform bill. Now he's going to have to vote for something really nuts, or else the teat baggers will get him.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the dilemma the Republican Party is in. I mean, how do you think that's going to play out? I know it's still early, but there's, you know, a story in Time Magazine. I mean, you know, you would think at first blush this is going to hurt the Republicans, but, you know, like you say, who knows, right?
It hasn't yet. I mean, there's no indication that there's a general consensus around the country that, you know, the Republican Party has been taken over by lunatics, although it has.
Right.
And, you know, when I see news stories like the fact that Daryl Issa is putting on staff for when he gets the chairmanship of the Oversight Committee, that makes my blood run cold. Because
right.
Dan Burton is going to be shooting produce in his backyard within a month.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be back to the good old days, believe me.
Yeah, endless investigations and subpoenas for no reason. I mean, if you think we're not getting anything done now for the country,
and
right?
Of course, the media will go to that like catnip. I mean, that's just, you know, a scandal. You know, why don't we have all the documents yet? Well, you have all the documents. Why don't we have more of all the documents?
Oh, my God, I know.
Why aren't you writing more documents and giving them to us?
Oh, my God, speaking of this, exactly, like Fox News and the Black Panther thing, I'm watching this like, oh, there's some breaking story. Was there some tease they did yesterday on Fox? Did you see it, Chris? They're like, when we come back, new shocking revelations of White House involvement. And that, you know, and then I'm going, in the case that happened when George Bush
White House,
Do you
think any of these people who are touting the new Black Panther story know anything about the old Black Panthers?
No.
Or anything about history prior to, you know, what they had for lunch that day?
Right. Absolutely not.
No. You got a bunch of genuine crazy people in berets, which those of us who are a little bit older realize is kind of the way things go in American politics. There's always a crazy bunch of people wearing berets. Unfortunately, on the left, because we're all French, as you know.
Yes.
We wear berets, and carry automatic weapons, and baguettes. That's how you know we're the American left.
We will beat you to death with a baguette.
We will beat you with this baguette.
That's our next plan for
Don't
voter intimidation.
Don't make me use this baguette, my friend.
You ever seen a really stale baguette? It's practically a shillelagh.
I did, in fact, and I bought her dinner and took her home.
Hey! Charlie Pierce, here is the new idea that the Republicans have for the next election cycle. Newt Gingrich, frankly, he is seriously considering seeking a Republican presidential nomination.
Oh,
I am begging my higher power for this one. Oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
If we could
get him and Princess Dumbass of the Northwoods in the election. Oh my!
Can't wait for those debates.
He said.
Are people familiar with how unpopular that guy really is?
Well, that's what I was going to say. He said, "I've never been this serious, frankly. It's fair to say by February the ground will be been laid to seriously consider whether or not to run."
Frankly.
I mean, yes, are you seriously? Can we not think that far back? He was a disaster.
Well, not only that, but he's enormously unpopular.
Yes.
And the more you hear him, the less popular he gets.
Yes.
Mitt Romney has that same phenomenon, but it's only because he's a fake. This guy is just a guy that you look at and you say, you know, that's the guy at the end of the bar that we all move to the other end to
yes.
avoid.
I hate him. The guy that spits. Exactly.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. We're not going to put C-SPAN on you. We're going to watch the ball game. Now go away. And keep your fingers out of the beer nuts and your hands off the barman.
Here's what he had to say about that. He said, at a time when the economy remains fragile, Americans want results and aren't worried about personality. He said, I think likable is a word you have to think a lot about. If people believe their country's in trouble, they want a captain of the lifeboat. They don't want a fraternity brother. So he's like, it doesn't matter that I'm an asshat that everyone hates.
He would capsize the boat.
Anyway. That bastard.
Somebody would make him try to sit in the back of the boat, and he'd throw a tantrum and jump over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He acknowledged, considering a White House run in 2007, he said, you know, you couldn't be the first Republican speaker in a generation and engage in a contest with Bill Clinton for setting the direction of the country and run for president.
And you
it
got
wasn't
your
physical.
Ass kicked, pal.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
It wasn't,
as the old fight writer said, Bill Clinton sent you home in a blanket.
Yeah. He said it wasn't physically doable. Well, not if you were the worst Republican House leader ever.
Well, I mean, you know, we're slightly distracted by your addiction to what we like to call the Comey aid problem.
Yes.
Yeah. You're blatant, unbelievable hypocrisy.
Every time his first wife got cancer, divorce. Right. Second wife got multiple sclerosis, divorce. The new Mrs. Gingrich, don't sneeze.
Yeah.
I'm warning you right now. Because if you sneeze, there's a 22-year-old aide in that office that's going to look mighty good.
He said of Obama yesterday, I think he will replace Jimmy Carter as the worst president of modern times. You know, there's someone else I could think of that might be in the running.
Let me stroke my chin for a minute here.
Let me stroke my chin thoughtfully.
Oh, yes, that fellow.
Exactly.
And we had two terms of him, Nudie.
Oh, boy. Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe.
By the way, Charlie wants to know why he wasn't invited to your barbecue this weekend.
I know. Yeah. My invitation blew off the porch.
Because he lives in Boston?
Well, I'm sorry, but Chris LaVoie and I are Facebook BFFs, and we've been discussing this.
Yes.
It looked like fun.
It really was just an excuse to do chores for the GIMP. That's really all it was.
Did you really get carried up the stairs?
I did.
Did you have bearers, or was this one guy?
Just one guy. One really muscly guy.
You were in one of those little sedan chairs with, you know, guys holding you on their shoulders.
That's next. If you want to show up in a thong with a carrier.
Yeah, I'll show up.
So I can be Madeline Kahn.
I'll show up on a thong cut. You got a chance there.
So I can say, could you all please step on the same foot at the same time?
One of those fans like they haven't gone with the wind while you're sleeping, and I'll stand over you and, like, fan you.
Well, that is some sort of liberal Fellini film. All right. Author of Idiot America, out in paperback. Thank you, Charlie. See you next week.
Guys. See you next week.
All right, there we go. Charlie Pierce. It's not often I get to whip out the Madeline Kahn.
That's right.
All right.
Not the hair. Not the hair.
No, not the face. Not the hair. Okay, thank you. That was my little mini impression, Jim. And then you get to choose by manhood. No, yes. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mel Gibson's theme song. Stephanie Miller Show. Yes, we have the audio. Yes, we'll play it. Yes, it's ugly.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
Oof. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. We have breaking news about the Black Panther thing on Fox News 24/7. Yes.
From 2008 when George Bush was president.
Right. Steve Doocy, hard to believe he'd get anything wrong, isn't it? He falsely claimed that the Justice Department, quote, still has not explained why they dropped the case against members of the new Black Panther Party.
God.
moron.
Assistant Attorney General Tom Perez testified a default judgment was sought and obtained against the defendant carrying a nightstick, and that DOJ attorneys concluded that the evidence did not support additional charges.
Yeah.
In further breaking news, the Civil Rights Commissioner said no citizen has even alleged that he or she was intimidated from voting. No voters at all in the Philadelphia precinct have come forward to allege intimidation. Ducey then went on to allege media hypocrisy between the Bush and the Obama years. He said, we all also go back to this, and that is this, had something like this happen during the Bush years.
It did happen during the Bush years, you pinhead.
And nobody...
Report Steve Doofus. My
or
God.
With any Republican in office, this would be in type that big on the front page of the New York Times. Something like this happened during the Bush years. The Bush era DOJ declined to prosecute a similar case, actually, in 2006.
The case was downgraded to a civil case 11 days before Obama was inaugurated, 26 days before Eric Holder became Attorney General, and about 9 months before Thomas Perez was confirmed as head of the Civil Rights Division.
So you can see how that had to do with President Obama retroactively hating white people.
J. Christian Adams has admitted he does not have firsthand knowledge of the events, conversations, and decisions that he is citing to advance his accusations. It was the Bush administration's Justice Department made the decision not to pursue criminal charges against the new Black Panther Party.
In fairness
on.
To Steve Ducey, I have pointed this out before, Chris. He does look like someone has just hit him in the head with a frying pan right before he goes on air. Do you know what I'm saying? He has a little bit of a cross-eyed, like a little...
And he's passed that look on to his son, who also reports for Fox News.
I just sense that somehow it's 3, 2, 1, coming back to you, Steve.
What? Huh? Who am I? What am I here? What?
Jeff in Orange County. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, all. I just wanted to point out a little bit of the facts that there were people that were out at these polling stations in Philadelphia. But if we all remember, the media at the time spent some time reporting on the fact that a lot of right wingers were giving misinformation to voters and sending them to the wrong polling places.
Right.
This was a countermeasure to eliminate that type of shenanigan that was going on. If you carry billy clubs, I guess that would have no comparison to those Tea Partiers who are carrying automatic weapons.
Well, you know,
neither
Jeff, it's like the right wing never uses the word union without the word thug after it.
Right.
Like when, you know, unions went to these healthcare rallies, that you saw how ugly and borderline violent these things got, these town halls. When they went to make sure nothing bad happened, then it was like, oh, it's union thugs intimidating regular Americans.
Goons.
Yes. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
Boys, the news of the day has exhausted me. Human beings really get on my nerves sometimes. But
yes.
Are you wearing your beret today? Are you carrying a billy club?
Are you holding a billy club in the other hand that you're not holding the phone in?
Oh, of course I am, and I'm also smoking ganja, and I got a billy club, and any other stereotype you want to do. I'm a brother. What else do you expect?
I'm doing the fist salute right now, actually.
Your terrorist fist jab.
But check this out. You mentioned one of the political polls a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And for people who are considering not voting or whatever, you know, especially the liberal race, I want to make an analogy. I hope it makes sense to you. Imagine if you were trying to get to a destination. You had no other choice but the following. Stand still complaining and not move an inch and suffer in the hot sun. Take a cab that is frustratingly moving, maybe 5 miles an hour, but you eventually get there. Or another cab that's going the opposite direction at 80 miles an hour.
Wait, is there a train going to Chicago at any point in this story or no?
I'm saying, which does it make sense to get to your destination as slow and irritating as it might be, or go in the other cab that you know is going to take you far away from where you're going to go at 100 miles an hour like the Republicans want to do? Every story you mentioned gives us a preview of what we're in store for. So I can't believe anyone wants to sit on their hands or complain. I mean, you do understand what's awaiting for us if this other crowd gets their hands on power again.
Yep, absolutely. And by the way, I think we can all agree that this LeBron James story means it's another keeping the white man down story.
What?
Uh-huh.
LeBron James is an asshat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but the right is trying to use this as a political thing, saying,
what?
Oh, it claims the taxes are too high on the rich, and that's why he went to...
Oh, my God.
He said many times he wanted to be on a winning team because he hadn't won a championship. Where was he? Cleveland.
Yes.
We're not big sports people here at the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, we most certainly are not.
He plays something with a ball of some sort. He's a basketball
player.
He's with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So anyway, he had said for months he's not about the money. I mean, obviously, they make a bazillion dollars wherever they go. So, but this the right use this. This whole story is an anti-tax thing. Trying to say, oh, he didn't want to pay taxes in New York or, I don't know.
It had nothing to do with taxes.
Illinois or something. I don't know. It's all about keeping the white man down.
Well, the Miami Heat, from what I understand, is putting together a championship-caliber team this year.
Yes.
That's what he wanted to go do. He wanted to go play, you know, he wanted a championship ring.
Apparently winning seems to be important to some of these people in the sports arena that we know so little of. How about that Spain in the World Cup?
Oh, well, I know.
How about that? Okay.
It was an ugly game. It was went into overtime.
Yes.
One goal.
I was talking to somebody yesterday that was really distressed that their team won. I think she's Dutch. Were they even?
Yes, they were second place.
Oh, all right. Yes, she was very distressed, and I was like, well,
Paul the Octopus, 8 for 8.
Me too. I barely made it through the weekend with that news. That's why I passed out at my party Saturday night. I was so distressed over the results of the World Cup.
The World Cup was played on Sunday.
That's right. I had a feeling. I had a feeling that things weren't going to go my way. So
okay.
I started drinking preemptively.
Yeah, I get it. That's okay.
Right then. 58 minutes after the hour. Don't go away. We've got stuff coming up. Larry Korb, who was the Secretary of Defense under Reagan. We will check in with him. We've got Mel Gibson audio, celebrity stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh?
Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Well, that was a great compliment. Some right-wing tool radio host from the other studio over there just came in and said he wanted to meet me because he screams at the TV every time I'm on. So my work is through here.
At least it wasn't a sock moment.
No. It was very nice.
Yes. 6 minutes after the hour. Jim, I was saying earlier, because of my infirmity, I'm on crutches with a broken foot, as you know.
Yes.
There's entirely too much security in this building for my liking.
Right.
It's big, heavy doors, and I got to hold a cart up. And seriously, I could use one of my stalkers to take care of me at this point.
Sure.
I don't understand why we need the security.
The thing is down low enough so that people in wheelchairs can access. So you have to bend down and get your cart key to... Then you have to, at the same time, with your left hand,
get to the big, heavy
door,
before it, exactly.
And kick
before it slams shut on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God. StephanieMiller.com,
the website. Even if you have a key card, it's hard to get into this place.
Exactly. You try it on crutches. All right.
I would think if you're in a wheelchair, it's hard to get into this building because of the heavy doors.
Right.
Yes. All right. Meanwhile, I just, you know what I do, Chris? I just sit looking at the clock. Waiting for my mobility scooter to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's my life. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. In the meantime, one of our very favorite experts on all things military, et cetera, is Lawrence Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and assistant secretary of defense under Ronald Reagan. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
My pleasure.
Well, you know, I've been watching some of Rachel Maddow's visit over to Afghanistan, and it is really tough to get an idea what the strategy is, isn't it? Or if it's going well, or at what point we might actually be done. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think what happened is that President Obama correctly perceived that we had ignored Afghanistan and put everything into Iraq.
Yep.
And so
with you so
said,
far.
So he said when he came in, he was going to add 1 to 2 brigades to the force in Afghanistan, which is what the then Commander General McKiernan was requesting, which he did. Then the military kind of boxed them in because what they said is, well, we've got more troops. We're going to need a new commander. So, you know, I don't think he realized what he was getting with Stan McChrystal, you mm-hmm. know, in terms. And so anyway, McChrystal went over there. And, of course, when you send a new commander, he's going to ask for more troops. And then, of course, you had that whole thing and the stuff leaking and they boxed them in and everything.
Right.
And so I think Obama said, okay, I'm going to give you these troops that you requested, you know, how long do you think it'll take you to turn around? They said 1.5 years. He said, good. After 1.5 years, then we're going to start getting out. And that's where we are now. And I think the key thing he has to be careful of is that he needs to make sure he starts getting out, you know, about 1 year from now. Because if he doesn't, then you can get dragged in deeper and deeper. And the more troops that you send, basically, the other side will just counter that. And so what you have is you're where you were a couple of years ago, but the other side, you know, as you raise the ante, so does the other side. And you're going to have to get a political, you know, solution to it. And the good news is that while, you know, Afghanistan was the place from which the attacks of September 11th came from, it's not there anymore. You know, Leo Panetta, the head of the CIA,
right,
said maybe there's 100 Al-Qaeda
left,
you know.
That was going to absolutely be my next question, Larry, is that that's the thing we keep hearing, and maybe that's why largely the American people don't get it. What is the strategy? Why are we there if only, you know, less than 100 Al-Qaeda are even there? I mean, what is the new direction under Petraeus exactly?
Well, I think what Petraeus is going to try and do and what McChrystal was trying to do was to stabilize the situation enough to stop the momentum of the Taliban that they would be willing to sit down and, you know, talk. And our objective basically is not to, you know, have it become a haven for Al-Qaeda again. And, you know, not, and it doesn't destabilize the region.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to be solved militarily. I mean, that's going to have to be solved diplomatically, particularly with the other countries in the region. And that's what Holbrooke was supposed to be doing. But, you know, after the McChrystal thing, you wonder, you know, it sounds like the gang who couldn't shoot straight. You know, you got McChrystal was thought, Karzai liked him, but he didn't like the ambassador. Well, no, McChrystal's supposed to be fighting the war. The ambassador's supposed to be dealing with Karzai. And then, you know, McChrystal was saying he's being bombarded from emails by Holbrooke. Holbrooke shouldn't be worried about the military strategy. So hopefully out of, you know, this mess created by the McChrystal article, they'll, you know, get the team working together toward this, common goal.
Larry, I hate to imply that anything Michael Steele says might be correct. I mean, first of all, he was historically and mathematically incorrect that Afghanistan was a war of President Obama's choosing. But historically, he is correct. I mean, about the history of Afghanistan, right? And that
there's no doubt about it. And I think it was kind of unfortunate that one of the Democratic, you know, responses was, "Well, you're undermining the troops." You know, that's kind of the last refuge of scoundrels. You know, because no matter what you say, you know, people can, you know, make that claim, and that's, you know, not true. Let me tell you, the troops want to come home. So,
right.
I mean, you know, you're not undermining their morale. No, I think, you know, other than calling it Obama's war, you know, he was, yet you have to be careful of. And I think the good thing, and Obama needs to emphasize this more, that starting next summer, when he starts to get out, and depending, you know, he said the conditions, how quickly he'll get out, he's not going to add more troops, because that's the trap that you can fall into, because you get involved in these things and you put 30. Well, okay, then we'll do 60, and then we'll do 90. And then somebody says, well, let's go to 120. And that's where you got to be careful. That's what happened in, you know, Vietnam. We get up to 540,000,
yep.
You see. So I think that's important. He needs to emphasize that. And I think Biden's been doing a good job. Say, look, we're starting to get out. That means no more. And if you can't get it, we'll come up with, you know, some solution that's not, you know, not perfect.
Larry, again, many of us don't sort of understand all the dynamics like you do over there. I mean, first of all, the winnability with Karzai in command and the importance of Pakistan's fight against the Taliban from that side. What you know, explain that whole dynamic to us.
Well, I think, let's take Pakistan. I mean, the interesting thing about Pakistan, you got to give this administration credit because they have pushed Pakistan to take action against Al-Qaeda. And the Taliban, because previously the Pakistan, you know, was content to let the Taliban come back because that would keep India from, you know, having influence there. And they were ignoring the Taliban as long as they didn't bother them too much. But then the Taliban, you know, started coming into what I would call Pakistan proper. And, you know, the administration has pushed Pakistan to take action, which they've done. They've dramatically increased the number of drone attacks on that sort of no man's land, the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan, which has, you know, taken its toll. And now I think Pakistan says, okay, let's, you know, come up with some sort of diplomatic solution here where, you know, we get the Taliban back, but we don't get Al-Qaeda. And the Taliban basically work with Karzai, but they, you know, they don't bother us. Now the deal with the same thing with Karzai, I mean, he's looking for a deal that'll keep him, you know, in power. And, you know, the one thing that's going to be horrible when we leave, and we're going to be leaving, and there'll be some Taliban there, if they either do those horrible things, particularly to women, you know, that they've done. And that's going to be tough for us to, you know, to live with. But I think we've done what we can to try and, you know, deal with that. But at some point, we reach a point of diminishing returns.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry, just always such a pleasure to get your take on things. You bring such a, you know, such a broad sense. I mean, interestingly, we always talk about when you worked under Reagan, that it just seems to me that this Republican Party has just gone so far to the right. Clearly, I'm not the only one saying that, but... You know, it seems like Ronald Reagan would be called a socialist these days on many issues.
There's no doubt about that. They completely misinterpret Reagan, particularly on foreign policy, okay? When we were in Lebanon, we got in there so the Israelis and the PLO could withdraw, because you may remember the Israelis, unlike what they had told us, they went all the way up to Beirut. And then when it was clear we were involved in a civil war, we got out.
Right.
You know, when those Marines were killed, and Reagan called it strategic redeployment, okay? But he didn't, you know, keep doubling down. And he resisted calls from a lot of the right wingers. They wanted to send 25,000-30,000 troops to Central America.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, so this idea that they have of Reagan, and in fact, I remember when he started negotiating with Gorbachev, Newt Gingrich called him Neville Chamberlain.
Yep.
You know, so... Wow. Unfortunately, those are the people running the Republican Party today.
Right. I mean, and ironically, I mean, the president, you know, clearly to the displeasure of many on the left, is escalating in Afghanistan. And it's a political world turned upside down these days, isn't it?
Well, it has. No doubt about that.
Larry Korb, from the senior fellow from the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, anytime.
All right. Bye. There he goes. Well, he's smart, and I like him.
He's good.
And he likes when I call him Larry. All right. Kids, by the way, tomorrow on the big show, it's a star-studded day on
yes.
the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
And he's going to be in studio with us here in Los Angeles.
And Edie McClurg will be here to commentate with us.
Because
she really enjoys the commentating on the program in person.
She loves it when we make fun of her accent as well.
Yes, she does.
She just loves it.
All right. Okay. So all that tomorrow. Boy. Mel Gibson. You got to love the delisted. Mel Gibson's assault on our souls continues. I'm about to file a restraining order against recording devices for continually raping my ears with a pack of Mel Gibson's.
Yeah.
Radar has released the sequel to Mel's You Look Like a Bitch in Heat rant, and this one is 8 minutes of Lucifer's newest spokesperson raging and huffing like Boy George doing a sit-up. To say that Mel needs to smoke a bowl out of a bong made of Valium while getting a Valerian enema in anger management class is an understatement. Mel has more anger in one of his ass lips than Christian Bale, Bill O'Reilly, and Alec Baldwin combined.
Ass lips?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Mm. Hmm.
He said, D-Listed says, we should turn this into a drinking game. Every time Mel screams out, C word, whore or what, we should pour a shot of rubbing alcohol into our ear hole. We will sadly be back with the latest Mel Gibson audio as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Dance like a white man since I have no movement in my lower body.
That's true.
I'm just doing the Rock'em Sock'em robot arms like Hal Sparks does when he dances with me. 23 minutes.
That has got to be so adorable when he does that.
Oh, you just want to keep putting his head down.
You knocked my block off.
He will be here live with us tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. And you're here to party.
And if you don't want to party, then you should go home.
Mm. All right. Oh, dear, 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 dear. Will this be the end of the Mel Gibson tapes, do you think, or is there more?
I think not.
Hmm.
There's probably more.
Okay. Oh, this is Mel Gibson and Oksana is her name.
Oksana.
You almost killed us. Did you forget?
Life for you is the best gravy train.
You were hitting a woman with a child in her hands. You, what kind of men is that? Hitting a woman when she's holding a child in her hand, breaking her teeth twice in the face. What kind of men is that?
No, you're all angry now.
You're going to get to, you know what? You're going to answer one day, boy. You're going to answer.
Huh?
Bet.
What? What? What are you threatening?
Nothing, nothing. I'm not the one to threaten.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a rose garden, you.
Oof.
Oh. Oof. Oh, my.
That wasn't the worst of it.
I guess not. He didn't mean get her flowers from a rose garden. He meant bury her corpse, you mean, in a rose garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that sense, he did promise her a rose garden, I guess, but not in the sense that. Wow. Okay.
But you know what's weird is that none of this is admissible in a court of law.
Yeah, because in California it's illegal to record someone without their
knowledge.
Consent.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay then. All right. Just one more.
I need a woman, not a little girl with a dysfunctional. I need a woman. I don't need any medication. You need a bat my side of the head. All right? How about that? You need a doctor. You need a brain transplant. You need a soul. I need medication. I need someone who treats me like a man.
Yeah, I'd say medication.
I'd say perhaps she might have been correct on that. Yeah, I would think some sort of confinement of some kind might be in order.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, that is really... by the way, can my be dysfunctional? Is that...
Well...
I don't really... That part just... I'm sorry. The gynecological part kind of...
Yeah. That's... Yeah.
Tripped me up before I got to the rest of it.
Being out of breath part?
He was... I mean, he was getting so worked up. I mean, this... Yeah. I think this went on for 8 minutes. And so he was getting so worked up.
Was it a full moon or something?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's... wow. Ugh. He's... That's... Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. D-listed putting some of the greatest hits up. You should smile and... me, because I deserve it.
Ooh.
How about this is my personal favorite. There's no bleep word. There's no swear words in here. Well, just one. But he said, I left my wife because we have no spiritual common ground.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Actually, he left his wife to bang her.
Right. Because she had gotten pregnant by him.
Yes, wait. And then he says, you and I have none. You won't even try. So you see, his point, Jim, is that he is much more spiritual than either her or his previous wife. See, because he's...
You need to get bleeping spiritual right now, you bleeping bleep.
Spiritual, and she's not.
Mm.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah. I think we should just move along from that story there.
Yeah, that makes me feel like I need a shower.
Yeah, that I don't want to hear that again.
See, there's some actors who play crazy people in movies. Mel Gibson is a crazy guy who plays reasonably
sane people. Plays an actor, apparently.
Can you imagine, you know, working on a movie that he's directing? And does that kind of anger come out when someone does something wrong?
He makes Christian Bale seem like a candy striper.
You and I are done professionally.
It seems charming almost, the Christian Bale outburst.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Rush Limbaugh, as you recall. Oh, Jim, this is how bad this economy is. He wanted $13 million for his New York apartment. He only got 11.5.
Oh,
I mean, he's only going to be able to afford, like, 2007 OxyContin this month instead of his required 3,000 or
whatever.
Okay. Yes, he unloaded that that incredibly gaudy New York apartment of his that looks like Liberace threw up inside it. However, he paid less than $5 million for the place in 1994. So, see, capitalism working just fine for me, my friends. I don't know what your problem is. Stephanie and Madison on Mel Gibson. Hello, Steph.
Oh, man, you guys. The more I hear, this guy is really scary crazy. And
yeah, no, he does not. You're right. He does not just need medication. He needs to be confined.
He needs to be confined. And I can't believe that someone can't bring a case against this. I mean, don't let him say no, no, no to rehab. He's really, I mean, he's gotten me all shook up. You know, I grew up with a crazy alcoholic stepfather that used to do crazy. This guy. This is really bad, and geez.
I mean, and we've heard some pretty angry, ugly celebrity tapes, but that is just...
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the right-wing wackos, you know, they say lots of different things and that I find atrocious, but my God.
Yeah, there is a level of ugliness in that you're absolutely right. It just it's past the funny. It's just way into the like oof.
I think he's a danger to society.
Yeah, I mean
really.
And it's
so lock him up.
Yeah, and how is it possible to be racist against every group in the world? That is just he's like a ball of hate.
Yes.
Just 28 minutes after the hour, more celebrity stack next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Now, won't you?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
The people who missed the first hour, I'm starting to get email from them wondering what happened to your leg. They would like an update.
I still have a leg. Speaking of gifts. Thank you. I still have my leg today. The doctor asked that my listeners stop freaking me out. It might have been a psychosomatic numbness. No, he says it's not too tight. He'll redo it I don't know. I can't tell if it is or not.
You've been keeping it elevated the entire show. How's that working for you?
Jim has been nice enough to offer me his shoulders. And I've been doing the entire show in stirrups, and I appreciate it. All right. As a way of saying thank you, I did something. Angelina Jolie just got a heart tattoo on her inner thigh for Brad.
Oh.
And in an homage, now that I'm back here in Los Angeles, I have a heart on for Jim as well. Right
that's
there. That's right there. See? I got a heart tattoo.
Uh-huh.
It says Jim on my inner thigh.
What does Janiqua think of this?
Shh, don't tell her. She'll never see.
She's
it.
Still sleeping.
I usually keep my pants on for the entire dinner party.
Yeah, except for Saturday.
So,
when you were in a pool of your own sick.
Yes, but Janique still didn't see the gym tattoo. Tim and Madison. Hello,
Good
Tim.
Good morning. You know, I'm wondering what the hypocrisy that the right wing can keep coming up with, especially Sean Hannity and Miss Sarah Palin yesterday, bitching about Barack Obama, our great president so far, taking a vacation during the oil spill. Now, this is completely blowing my mind, considering that I recall Hurricane Katrina when the president decided that, I'm going to sit in Texas for how many weeks? I think it was six.
Yeah. Well, he took more vacation than anybody. But first of all, the other thing is a hurricane obviously is a one-time event that he needed to. There's a certain timing that he needed to be there and responding to it. This is obviously, you know, going on and on and on. I mean, what's he?
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah. What do they expect him to do? Do they expect him to go down to the Gulf with a straw and start cleaning it all up himself? Do they expect him to?
Yes. Drop that golf club, Mr. President, and get a straw, for God's sakes. Let's go to Rhonda in Erie, Pennsylvania, on Mel Gibson. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi. Mel Gibson has been doing this stuff since publicly, at least since 95. He did an interview with Playboy magazine in 1995 where he talks about women in a negative. He talks about a whole lot of people in a negative light, but he specifically talks about feminists and women.
And gays, too. I remember that article.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And, last year, I wrote a paper last year titled Mel Gibson Thinks He's Jesus Christ. That man has not done a movie in which he has not been a persecuted white man.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
one. Yep. So we should have seen this coming a long time ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the danger, right, in going, oh, well, he's not talking about my group. You know what I mean, I'm not Jewish or gay or whatever. But you're like going, a person like that apparently hates everybody, and that's what's coming out now, you
know? Well, there's got to be a point when people for people like this that you just can't contain that kind of hatred and vitriol, and he's like a balloon. He just got too big, and he popped. So now we all know how truly awful he is, but he's been awful for a very long time.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to Diane. Yeah, I mean, people did. They excused, I remember, that homophobia with like, oh, well, you know, he's just a typical kind of macho Australia, you know, movie star guy. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not okay. Diane in Arkansas.
Hello.
Hello.
I love your show. I listen to it every morning on the way to work.
Thank you.
It's the bright spot of the day.
Thank you.
Well, I have a little different take on Mel. I think he's just an incredibly angry man, and he has an alcohol problem. And, you know,
drunk, though, Chris?
We don't know. We don't know that.
I mean, he's always drunk.
Well, we don't know. We don't know, that he was drunk. We don't know that he was drunk on this, so we can't put that accusation on him.
Diane, my point is he doesn't sound to me like he's drunk on these tapes. I mean, those you remember the original, the DUI arrest. He sounded drunk. I mean, he clearly was drunk.
Well, my point is that who hasn't lost it and become very angry, especially if you're dealing with relationships and divorce and things of that sort. It's just something that's very, very, very deep in people, and the pain is there. And so when I hear him, I hear a very angry person that needs some help. But most of us don't end up on television or on the radio having everyone hear our tirade. So I kind of
No, I mean, I hear you, but I also think, you know, this has been talked about before. I mean, does alcohol make you racist if you're not in the first place?
No, he's got a lot of anger, and he needs to deal with that. He needs some help, obviously.
God, I'll say.
But I feel sorry for him that his personal relationships and his personal words are always, you know, on the television or the radio, because, you know, I went through a divorce a few years ago, and I'm sure that I went on a tirade and said dropped the F-bomb a few times, and I'm a very a Christian moral person, but that doesn't mean that we don't.
Absolutely.
We don't get angry and say things we don't mean. And,
right. We all have phone conversations or whatever that we wouldn't want broadcast to the world. But my point is, I stop short of feeling sorry for Mel Gibson. I think that's a little uglier than, you know, most people. I mean, I'm not sure any of us have ever heard anything quite that ugly these last.
Oh, no. But then he's very angry. He's a devout Catholic, and he.
A Catholic. He's like a really, really far right special kind of Catholic.
So he basically turned his back on God, his religion, and he engaged in this with this woman in a very sinful way, which had to be very hard for him, leaving the wife, and he's made all these sacrifices, and she's still not perfect for him. And the problem is, it's because he's not perfect, and he needs some help.
Yeah, he does.
And you know, and so I think he's much more conflicted than we think, and he needs a lot more help.
Yes, indeed. All
maybe
right.
Not judgment. Maybe
all
not
right.
Judgment, but he definitely needs help.
All right, Diane. Thank you. Well, I'm going to go way out on a limb here. Perhaps the reason that his marriage didn't work out is he was banging other women. There could have been that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just saying.
Well, he's with this weird sect of uber-Catholicism that his dad espouses, and they're still blaming the Jews for killing Jesus, yeah. And they're still blaming Eve for biting into that damn apple, and these damn bitches are making him do all this stuff! Yes. It's all your fault! I think that's with... he's channeling his dad.
Yeah, it's an Eve and the apple thing, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay. My God.
Tom Hanks still plays with children's toys, he says. Huh? He, of course, voices Woody in the new toy. I heard that's really great.
I cried like a baby at the end of that. It seems everybody does. Oh. It's a really good movie.
It's the first movie since E.T. that men have been allowed to cry at openly.
I do that whenever I see Apollo 13. It's a really, really good movie. Yeah.
Anyway, he's the guy he played in Big. He says, I play with toys all the time. I play with all the kids, the goofy things my kids still have, like cars and planes, and hold them up and imagine the same stories I did when I was a kid.
Aw, that's great.
Speaking of the movie Big, where the heck is Elizabeth Perkins? I'm talking to you, Elizabeth Perkins. She's one of those people I ran into at a party that promised us she would come in studio with us, and we've had no word.
Hmm.
Just saying, putting out a little shout out.
Maybe she's listened to the show.
Yeah, in the ensuing days or weeks.
And I might have danced slutty with her husband at Etheridge's birthday party.
Okay.
I don't quite remember. Not really sure. That could be it.
That, yeah.
Did you get her confused with someone else famous?
No. I know who Elizabeth Perkins is. I'm a huge fan of hers.
Okay.
She was great on Weeds. She's great. She was great on
Mary Louise
Big.
Parker. I love you.
She was great in Big.
You got her confused for Mary Louise Parker.
I did not.
I thought you were Larry David's wife. Oh, I'm sorry. I
did not, because, Jim, I will have you know, here's a little fun fact about Mama's career.
What?
I once read to play her best friend in a sitcom, and she read with me, and she was very, very kind to me, because sucked. I sucked. And I was very nervous. I was in way over my head. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to read with Elizabeth Perkins today. And she was very kind to me.
You sucked despite your theater degree from USC?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's it.
Bad. I suck bad.
She said a line in a play once.
So you're not a complete failure.
Well, if we'll review at the Edinburgh Theatre Festival in 1980 Flavin, I played the nurse in Streetcar Named Desire, wherein I had one line, but it was very dramatic. And I had a very long, silent walk that built up to my line, where I said, Blanche, it's time to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
People
throwing flowers at you.
Thank you. Yeah. Brought the show to
Encore! Encore!
Bravissima!
Stephanie Miller, if you were a tree, what sort of tree would you be?
I'm still waiting for my invitation from James Lipton. All right. The headline is Hugh Hefner offers to take Playboy private. Wait a minute. He's taking people's privates public, or he's taking people's pubics public?
Huh?
What? I'm confused. Can you take privates public, or is he taking...
I honestly thought...
Pubic private.
He had nothing to do with the company anymore.
Maybe no one's told him that.
Mm. Oh.
He's taking the company private is the story there. Jimmy Buffett performed a free concert that drew... Oh, yeah, you might as well keep the rock star cheers ready.
Okay.
Jimmy Buffett performed a free concert that drew thousands of people to the Gulf Shores to cheer them up a tad bit. He sang a special version of Margaritaville. Say, he changed the line to, some people claim there's a woman to blame, but I know it's all BP's fault.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd went wild. That's theater applause. I need the rock star applause. I know it's all BP's fault. Don't give him my tiny little Edinburgh crowd. All right. More bat crazy from Michelle Bachmann we continue. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. My dirty little secret. Don't tell anyone, nor your
Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. It has become a comedy explosion on the show tomorrow. A celebrity comedy explosion that you will not want to miss.
Why?
Am I engaging in hyperbole? I don't think so.
No, you are not. It's
Margaret Cho has just been added to the lineup tomorrow, which includes already Hal Sparks live in studio and Edie McClurg.
Wow. And Carl Frisch.
Carl Frisch from Medium. All right, well, I'm not sure I would put him in the same comedic universe, but
he's
funny.
Yes, and Carl Frisch is going to be in studio with us on Friday.
Oh, I'm just...
What?
I'm beside myself. Literally, I have a bone displaced in my foot. I am literally beside myself. All right. All right. So, did you see this former contractor, Jim, on the TV, the VP guy? He came forward to denounce BP as the cutthroat individuals running the oil disaster response. Gee, I didn't have any ill thoughts about them before this.
Who could have seen that coming?
He was a contractor-turned-whistleblower, Adam Dillon. He said he was fired after taking photos he believes were related to the use of dispersants and the cleanup of the oil. He said there are some great hardworking individuals in there, but the bottom line is just about money. There are some very cutthroat individuals. They're not worried about cleaning up that spill as it is.
No, they want to hide the extent of the spill. That's why they're using these highly toxic dispersants.
Yes, that's what we talked to Amber Lyon, CNN correspondent, earlier this morning about, who just dove into the middle of it in a hazmat suit.
That was a fascinating interview. If you missed it, it's going to be posted up on stephaniemiller.com after the show.
Why, thank you.
No problem.
You probably did not mean to compliment me in any way.
No.
You just sort of inadvertently did.
No, she was fascinating. You were you.
Subpar, as usual. You were as mediocre as you always are. All right, Robert Gibbs yesterday. By the way, Ken Salazar reissued a moratorium on deep water offshore drilling. Yay. We have to give him a yay where it's deserved. After the Circuit Court of Appeals rejected the White House's appeal, the lower court decision to repeal the to halt the drilling ban.
The president has and continues to believe that we have to be careful with what we're doing, given the uncertainty around what happened 84 days ago. We know that is not without some economic consequences to the region, but it's imperative that we have a sense of what happened before we continue to do this again.
What did Amber Lyon tell us of CNN? I think she said within 48 hours we're going to know whether this looks like this new cap is working, but they're
quite
testing.
Thad Allen was on the TV a little bit earlier this morning. He said... they've done tests, and so far it looks good.
I want to know what's going on in the rest of the Gulf, if reports that there is a huge fissure in the
Well,
bottom.
He said they also did seismic reports, and he said that looks good as well.
Okay. Well, all right.
William Riley, National Oil Spill Commission co-chair.
He asked us also to tell him what the country needs to do, what the industry needs to do to fix what went wrong, and to start the process of healing and restoring the environment. And this we will do thoroughly, independently, and impartially.
By the way, Kent Wells is the BP senior vice president. For purposes of this soundbite, we'll just call him Captain Understatement.
I know we've made some mistakes along the way, but we're committed to do everything we can to earn back our reputation on that, and we're trying to do that.
Your reputation was pretty bad before this, and it's worse now.
Let's just hope the press conference tomorrow isn't, oh, the cap was on, and then Shemp knocked it off at the last minute.
Well, at least he didn't use the Republican passive voice. Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
You know, at least they owned.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is that before this whole disaster happened, I always thought that BP was the most green of all of the oil companies.
Because
of their
ad campaign.
Because
they had a neat logo.
Those shiny commercials with windmills, and they've green. Everything is green in it.
Beyond petroleum.
We're getting so far beyond
petroleum. We're not even. Don't look at the petroleum. Look beyond that. Don't. It's not. That's not even key to our company.
Look at all the windmills we're thinking of possibly building someday, maybe.
Spinny. They're like those things your kids have at birthday parties. Whee!
Solutions are here. We got found solutions right here.
And they have that solar-powered gas station in Beverly Hills.
Look at that.
That's oxymoronic, a solar-powered gas station. Wow.
All right. Just saying, if we get more Republicans in the next election cycle, what we'll be getting is less regulation of companies like BP. Robert Gibbs said
there's no doubt
morning.
That there are a lot of seats that will be up, a lot of contested seats. I think people are going to have a choice to make in the fall.
But I think there's no doubt there are enough seats in play that could cause Republicans to gain control. There's no doubt about that.
It's solar-powered gas stations like diet lard. Alcohol-free vodka.
Oh, no, that's the fattening kind. That's the, yeah. So let's spin the...
Wheel of Right Wing
Crazies! Earlier we focused on Rand Paul. Let's bring back one of our old favorites, Bat Crazy Michelle Bachmann. Did you hear this latest one?
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. She helped headline the something conservative summit thing in Denver. She fired up attendees with an anger-filled speech, repeatedly comparing America under President Obama to slavery.
What?
She said, we will talk a little bit about what transpired in the last 18 months, and we would and would we count what has transpired into turning our country into a nation of slaves.
Slaves?
Said the...
Oh, my God.
Slaves. In the era of the first black president.
Does she understand what slaves actually went through?
No, she does not.
She's an idiot. My God.
What did Charlie Pierce call Sarah Palin earlier?
Oh, Princess Dumbass of the North, North Woods or something
yeah,
like that.
Princess Dumbass of the North Woods. God, I love Charlie Pierce.
Oh, some of those Pierceisms stick with me all week. Okay. Bachmann took questions from the audience, including one from a woman concerned that Republican leadership does not share Bachmann's dedication to spreading the word. Bachmann agreed that Republicans need to have one voice in all this. She then argued, though she's not in leadership, it's extremely important that the Republican leadership is made up of constitutional conservatives. If the Republicans take back Congress, meaning more bat crazy people like her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And her friend
Sharon. She's been watching Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of Adolf Hitler with an arrow pointing to Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it obvious?
Did you notice that?
Do you not get it?
Did you notice that the Black Panther calls completely stopped as soon as we debunked everything in what they were saying?
Yeah, I had like a full bank. And
you
then
did.
And then I was just like, yeah, that's. I think that's the Freeper's call, is call the progressive radio shows before they have time to fact check.
Exactly.
And spew as much garbage as you possibly can.
No, they got a call from the right-wing Politburo saying, oh, no, stop. No.
Stop.
New talking point.
Yeah, they have our number.
Wait for instructions.
Damn it, Lurleen, I was on a hold, and then they got the Google. Damn it. Damn that media matters.
They read reports of the actual event.
If I knew how to write in a big box, not just a subject line, damn it, Darlene!
Yeah, all four of us on the show have the Google in front of them. We can, yeah.
All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget tomorrow, oh my God.
The show's going to explode!
Margaret Show, Hal Sparks, Edie McClure, live in studio.
Wow. I might as well sleep in.
No. We need the funny voices. All right. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris, Jim, Rebecca. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.